All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I am trying a new setup right now because I am actually not behind the wheel of a car. I'm sitting at my desk and wanted to try the desktop version of Anchor to do this one. So we'll see how this goes. If this segment doesn't turn out the way I want, then maybe I'll re-record it using the phone. But hopefully this is all coming out okay. I'll check it. And just wanted to share these ideas with you, specifically about prayer. And I wanted to talk about what proper prayer is and how we should be living a prayerful life. So I think a lot of us have been convinced that prayer is a time to beg and plead with God, to beg Him to do something for us, or to give us something, or to provide a blessing for us. I mean, I'm not saying that it has to necessarily be selfish, but that we're begging and pleading and bargaining maybe with God. I remember when I was in high school in a youth group, the youth director would always refer to that kind of prayer as using Jesus as the fire extinguisher Jesus, right? Fire extinguisher sits there on the wall until we have an emergency. We rip it off the wall, we use it, and as soon as the emergency is over, we put them back on the wall. And one of the things that we were always advised against and worked on was don't treat Jesus as the fire extinguisher Jesus, okay? It's a daily communication with Him, not just an as-needed communication with Him. And so kind of in that framework, I wanted to go forward and just talk about, you know, when we actually approach God in prayer, we shouldn't be reaching out to Him as a needy, begging child. Instead, we should approach Him more as a favored son and daughter of God, not a favorite son or daughter of God, because I don't think that God plays favorites, but a favored, that's the word that they use in the Bible, a favored person, someone that's given special regard to or treated with goodwill, or treated much better than we would expect. When you receive favor, you're treated better than you even expect. And I think that's the way God works, is our human minds can imagine a million different blessings, and yet they still pale in comparison to the actual blessing that God is willing and able to give to us in our lives. So maybe acting and coming before God in prayer as a favored child of God, knowing full well that He is able and capable of giving us a blessing far beyond even what our human minds are able to comprehend. And that's the way that prayer, I think, God created and intended for us to be used. And that we should, again, always approach our prayer upon the platform of faith. That our prayer should be based and fed in faith. So faith, that's a tough word sometimes to comprehend and deal with, but faith is a skill, I think. It's a skill that can be practiced, just like going to the basketball court and practicing your shot, your baseball swing, reading, anything that you can practice and get better at. I think faith is that same type of thing. You have to have it's a skill that can be practiced, and we have to build that faith muscle every day. Okay, it's something that has to be used. Kids have a greater faith than adults a lot of times. And in fact, a baby has unlimited faith and unwavering faith in his parents that they're going to provide him warmth and food and love. And remember that in God's word, in the Bible, He asks us that, you know, which of you would give your kid a snake when he asks for bread? You know, even if you know how to take care of your kids, how much more care could the Father in heaven give you? And so I really like that imagery, being a father, that idea of I'm always trying to give my kids the best that I can for them, whether it's lessons, whether it's advice, whether it's discipline and correction, because sometimes kids need that too. I'm always giving them the best, and never in my mind, never in my wildest dreams, never in my worst nightmare would I ever think of handing my kid a venomous snake instead of what he or she actually asked me for. Okay, so even me and my faulty parenting human body, even I know better than that. How much more so does God care for us as his children? So what happens to our faith muscle, right? I just said that babies have an unwavering and a unlimited faith in their parents. So what happens to our faith muscle as we get older? You know, it weakens and it atrophies from lack of use. And instead of using our faith to guide our steps, we start depending more on our senses, you know, our sight or our hearing. And the problem with that is, you know, just as an example, have you ever seen an optical illusion, something that you look at and it's just not exactly what, I mean, it's a trick, right? It tricks your eyes. Or what about, you know, the illusionist like David Copperfield or anyone else that does that? You know, you guys will correct me with the names of illusionists. Maybe I should have done a little more research. But, you know, I'm thinking David Copperfield or any of the other ones. Our eyes can deceive us, and our hearing can go bad. I think if anyone's dealt with an aging adult, we can recognize that our hearing can sometimes get, you know, it can go bad. And so, you know, think about the game that we used to play as a kid. You know, I have a secret or secret, and you line up the kids, and the first kid says, whispers something into his neighbor's ear, and then that kid whispers whatever he heard into his neighbor's ear, and then she whispers it to her neighbor's ear, and all the way to the end of the line. And by the time you get to the end of the line, whatever that last person hears or thought he or she heard isn't even close to what it started as. And yet we put a lot of faith in this sense of hearing, right? And so, you know, that's not the way God tells us to live our life. Instead, you know, according to the Bible, we're supposed to walk in this life by faith, not by sight. We're supposed to walk on our faith because our senses can be diminished. They can play tricks on us. So how do we do that? How do we become a people that are directed by faith? How do we become a people who walk by faith and not by sight? Well, we need to build that faith muscle back up, right? We need to exercise that faith muscle. So how do we do that? We start making our prayers based on faith, right? If we want to exercise a faith muscle, if we want to exercise any muscle, we start using it. If we want to build any muscle, we start using it more. We start putting it under more stress. We start putting it under more weight so that it gets stronger. And so we need to make our prayers based in faith and not in the illusion of the need or the want that our senses might convince us that we have, right? If we pray in faith and we really believe our prayer and we believe the blessings that God has for us, then our feeling should be, our prayer feeling should be one of joy, of happiness, of gratitude, not the feeling of want and need and emptiness that our senses might give us, right? So our prayers must be made with 100% faith that our Father in heaven will bless us, that all the blessings and goodness in heaven will be showered down on us on earth as it is in heaven. See what I did there? Isn't that the way we were taught to pray in the Bible? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Those are pretty powerful words that come out of the scriptures. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Whatever you ask in prayer. So right now I'm in prayer. I have maybe my body, my senses tell me that I have a need or a want. So I ask for it in prayer. But when I ask for it, I need to believe that I have already received it. So if I believe that I have already received it, I no longer feel that need. I no longer feel that lack. Think about maybe when you're hungry for lunch. Oh, I'm so hungry. And so you go and you actually eat. You eat lunch. That's great. You have lunch. You no longer feel that hunger inside your stomach. Why? Because you've satisfied that hunger, and you have received what you needed to satisfy that hunger. So the same way, when we pray for something, we don't go into it in a begging, pleading, I need this. This is all I need from you, God. We don't do that. When we pray as if we've already received it. And what do? When we've already received something, we thank them, right? We're so thankful and grateful that these blessings have already come. So thankful and grateful that the things that God has provided in our life has given us all these blessings, has already. This is all past tense. So when you pray with 100% faith, you're being thankful for the blessings you have already received. And all we're waiting on is for the physical manifestation of those blessings to occur. All right, so it's already been granted by our loving Father, but all we're waiting on is for the manifestation to appear on earth. And it's important that you believe so deeply in your faith, right? So in your prayer, that you believe it. These aren't just words. Oh, yeah, I've received. Yeah, kind of like a little girl from Miracle on 34th Street. I believe. It's silly, but I believe. No, 100% faith. And your faith has to be so strong that it overcomes the illusion of the evidence that your senses may be giving you, right? Your sight or your hearing, your taste, any of those things. You need to overcome the physical senses of that those illusions and believe with your spiritual faith that your prayer has been answered. You need to believe so deeply in your prayer that you actually affect your body. You have body effects because of the thoughts that you create. And what do I mean by that? I mean, have you ever been awoken by a nightmare that seems so real that you even have trouble being sure that it wasn't just a dream? And your heart is racing, your mouth is dry, you're breathing fast, you're sweating. Your thoughts created that in your body. Your mind created those physical manifestations in your body, the racing heart, the breathing, the sweating, the crying, right? The emotion that nightmare gave you. That's what I'm talking about. The faith that we pray with, it's for things that we have already occurred, have already been granted to us, and we're just waiting for the physical manifestation. The dream, the nightmare that you had has already occurred. The body effects is just the manifestation of those thoughts that you created. So in the same way, when you pray, and you need to get a clear mental picture of the outcome or the blessing that you want. Imagine already having whatever it is that you prayed for. Imagine the sight, the sounds, the smell, the sensation, even the taste of receiving that blessing. You need to have all those senses covered in your image so that you can counter the illusions that your senses are feeding to your brain every day, right? You sit here and say, well, I don't see the blessing. My eyes are open and I don't see the blessing. So how could I be blessed? You need to have an image in your brain so vivid, like that nightmare, that you see it. You see it with your mind's eye. You see it in your mind. And that evidence, the spiritual evidence that you have in your mind, cancels out the physical evidence that you claim to be receiving in your eyes, the illusion that your eyes are giving you. So don't focus on how you receive the blessing. You see, the how is God's job. Our job is to ask our loving Father for our daily bread with the faith that's capable of moving mountains, right? That's how much faith we need to have. 100% unlimited, unwavering faith. And I understand it's not easy to start doing, but make it a challenge to yourself to keep the image of your answered prayer ever present in your mind. And if there's a time when your logical mind breaks the image and you start thinking, that's impossible. That can't happen. Drive that image out and that feeling out of your mind and replace it with the image of your answered prayer. Replace it with the feeling and emotion of your answered prayer. Control your thoughts and set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. That's from Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. The earthly things are your senses and your their illusions. You keep focused on the blessings that you will receive. Now, I'm going to leave you with one thought on how to exercise your faith and train your mind. And this was shared with me by Brian S. Harris from the Harris Mastermind, and he's the author of the soon-to-be-released B-I-B-L-E book, which is the Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Okay. Anytime you physically pay for something in person, you expect immediate delivery of what you paid for. If this is your expectation in the physical world, keep this same expectation for the spiritual world. When you go to the store and you hand over your credit card, you expect to receive what you paid for immediately. There's no doubt in your mind. Otherwise, why would you hand your credit card over? In the same faith, same belief, when you pray for something, pray with that expectation. That you know that you have received it. You know, some of us have more faith in Amazon.com sending us boxes to our front door than we even do in our God, Creator, and Savior. That needs to change. Exercise your faith muscle today. Exercise it every day. Stretch it, build it, and use it. God bless you. Have a great day. I will be excited to hear what you guys think about this this prayer podcast and what the thought that was going through my mind. This is a longer one than usual, so thank you very much for hanging with me. Reach out to me, please, on Twitter, Rocha_Law. Reach out to me on Facebook, facebook.com/Rocha Law Firm. And I'm also on LinkedIn. Look me up, Jaime Rocha. And God bless you. If this was a blessing to you, if you heard something that you needed to hear, let me know and pass it on to somebody who might need to hear the same thing. All right. God bless you.